Hey guys, this is Angel Dugalic from UCLA Women's Basketball and the Serbian National Team, and you're listening to Coach G's podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, near or far, high or low, you're listening to the Coach G podcast. And listeners, I'm super excited to have this guest in the studio with me today, but let's introduce this high-level athlete the right way. So without further ado, let's cue in the music and introduce this guest the right way. Stepping on the court at 6'4" by way of Illinois, we have a truly extraordinary guest, a force to be reckoned with on the basketball court. She is not only a key player for the UCLA women's basketball team, but is also a proud member of the Serbian national team. She is also a champion at the 2021 Eurobasket and an Olympian in the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. Her skills and dedication have really set a standard for the excellence in women's basketball. So please join me in a welcoming phenomenal guest. We will dive into her strategic insights on reading the game, reflect on her triumphs at the Eurobasket level and the Olympics, as well as exploring her goals for 2024. Listeners, please give a warm welcome to Angela Dugalic.
Thank you so much. That was so cool.
Of course, of course. I mean, before we get into it, Angela, I want to say a happy new year to yourself and the listeners. And before we even get started, for 2024 and even kind of reflecting a bit, when you look at 2023, how is your physical and how is your mental?
It's funny that you asked that because, well, first off, I want to say happy new year to you as well and to everyone else. But I was getting like a 1 year ago video today on my photos and all this stuff. And I, at that point, last year, I was still coming back from my ACL injury and I had just started running in like a anti-gravity treadmill thing.
Wow. Okay. Gotcha.
So just to see the 1 year difference, it just surreal to me. So but yeah, I'm blessed. So nice. Yes, nice.
And I mean, just before we even start this conversation, I always like to kind of just take it back because I'm super curious how, you know, everyone's introduction into basketball is always unique and different. So just for yourself, Angela, like how old was you, where was you, and who was the person, if there was, that put a basketball in your hands for the very first time?
So my family has always been very much into athletics. My mom, she played professional handball in Serbia, or that was at that time former Yugoslavia. And my dad, he trained judo. He was one of the best in Serbia and all this other stuff. And he still like currently plays basketball plays soccer recreationally with like guys his age. So, but the one who really got me into basketball was my brother, and it's mainly because we were so competitive growing up. My parents sort of threw me into basketball, thinking that I'd like it because he's playing it, and like I didn't like it because of that. Like I was just like, I want to do volleyball. I want to play soccer. Was my big like I played sorry football. I played football for about, I want to say, 8 years. My first 8 years, and then. Yes. Then I was like, okay, I'm 6'4". I'm a little too big to be on the field.
Right.
So then I stuck with basketball, track, and volleyball. But I mean, the one who got me like really into basketball is my brother, and that's because we've always been so competitive. We would always go to my grade school park, and there'd be like a basketball court with chain nets and all this stuff, and like that's just like some core memories for me of how it all started.
I could just imagine, Angela, them one-on-ones must have been competitive, boy.
Oh, we have some one of us sort of go home mad and not talk to the person.
Oh my goodness. And just even on that journey, you know, there's always that moment, whether it's in training, whether it's in a high, intense, close game, there's that moment, there's that click where it's like, I'm nice at basketball. Like, the hard work is really starting to pay off and you really start to find your groove and your role within yourself. So for yourself, Angela, you know, when was that moment you realized that you was nice at
I've always been like more athletically inclined than others, and I think that's because my parents really like pushed us to be active as young kids, and I think that's like a big thing that a lot of parents should be doing. All parents should be doing. Physical activity is such a big part of a kid's life, and it could really change everything, which it did for me. I've always loved sports, like whatever it is, and I've always been super competitive. So it just sort of all fell into place. And then when I started playing with like girls, like for girls basketball and all that, like I could tell already that I was like a little bit better than others, but I was just so like, I always played against guys. I would always go to the closest rec center that I had. And like, you know, like sometimes I wouldn't get picked. I'd probably be the last one picked, but then when I did, I ball out and, you know, have fun and all that stuff. So yeah.
Nice. Nice. And I think, you know, just from watching your game, not just from UCLA, you know, just even watching the EuroBasket, I think you read the game very well, especially in the position that you play. So just in terms of, you know, how you read the game and how you approach the game on the court, you know, how do you step on the court and just, well, just to start off with, how do you approach the game of basketball just in terms of understanding the game?
Yeah, I think I have like a little bit different approach because there's a difference between European basketball and American basketball, and I sort of have the best of both worlds, and I get to do that. But I like my coach here at UCLA knows me for this, but like I always just try new things, and there's a lot of repercussions because most of the time it doesn't end up well. But I think as long as I practice it, at one point I'm gonna get it.
Right. Right.
But like, we did drills before where like you had to get out of a trap and make like a pass to another person, and I'm here trying to go behind the back pass.
Right.
The first seven times it gets stolen, and then the eighth time it gets through, and then after that, like after the eighth time, it just consistency, and it keeps going. So I think it's just like I've always tried new things and never been afraid of doing that.
Right. And would you say, you know, especially when you are playing those games and even when you're trying things out, are there any specific strategies or even aspects of your opponent's play that you like to focus on, whether it's offensively or even defensively?
Yeah, I would say when I'm on offense, I try to use my length and my versatility to my strength. I think that's like what I bring to the table. And I'm 6'4", but I can shoot, I can post up, I can hit a mid-range, like whatever you want, I got it. But I mean, that like with doing that, like I had to build up that confidence and you know, I'm still building it to this day. Like it just doesn't, like some people can be confident but don't have the stuff to prove it. Others aren't confident and like they're actually really good. And I think I fall more on that side. Like I try to be in the middle as much as possible, but there's a times where I just like don't, you know, feel confident in what I'm doing. But then I have to remind myself, like, I'm here for a reason. I've done all this stuff, and like no one can take those experiences away from me. And like, you got to remind yourself who you are in that moment.
Right. And you even mentioned it earlier, and this is kind of a conversation that I've had with quite a few, you know, players and coaches on the podcast and office. There's definitely that, there's differences and similarities between the Euro side of basketball versus basketball in the USA. And you kind of touched upon it earlier. So kind of just, you know, rewinding back time, you know, EuroBasket champion, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Just in terms of you winning that 2021 EuroBasket, must have been such a incredible achievement, because it's one thing to wear a jersey that represents your local team or, you know, you're playing at the college level, but to wear your home country, your nation on your back and your front must be absolutely amazing. So could you just, you know, share some insight into the team dynamics and even just some of the key moments that really contributed to you guys going all the way?
Yeah, no, for sure. I've been really blessed to been able to play with my national team, and like everyone who has been a part of the national team or who has been like part of training camps, they know how competitive it is. And you know, for such a small country, it's so hard, even for us, like it's really hard to get on the team. And my coach, the way I got found was a little bit different, because normally like it's harder for someone who's born in America, even though I'm certain, like, it's harder to get, I guess, found by your national team, but right. I was lucky through college coaches and all this stuff who have played for Serbia before, specifically Danielle Page, who I adore, but she's an American who played for this Serbian national team. Then she was a college coach and she was recruiting me, and then she's like, I can give you the phone number for the Serbian national team coach. And I was like, that'd be amazing. Right. It's truly a blessing because I have spent very little time in Serbia, besides now because of basketball and everything, but I've only was there when I was younger, seeing family. And once basketball took off, it was very hard to go back because that was my primary focus and my baby.
Right.
But I go there because of basketball, and it just brings me back to my roots. And like, I'm so proud to be Serbian, and everybody around me knows that. Like, yesterday was my Christmas, and everybody was telling me Merry Christmas because I like it for me.
Thank you.
But yeah, it's just like such, like, to wear a like Serbia on the front of your chest, like, that is just such a proud moment, not only for me but for my family too. Eurobasket was so surreal, and it was so different because of COVID. And so that same year we went to the Olympics too, but the Olympics was supposed to be a year before, but it ended up being the same year, so it was very hectic in training and all that stuff. But Eurobasket, it was just so, like, we were the best team, but there were better teams than us, but we were the best team in the sense that, like, we just got each other. We knew exactly how we played well together, and everyone knew their role. And it was just like the whole, like, our training camps is just a bloodbath, and like we're known for being a very scrappy team, and that's exactly how we play. And like, in the end, like, it was such a big toll on our bodies. I mean, and for me it was less because I didn't play as much as other people, so like I can't even match it how they felt. But
right,
it was
right.
Like, being at like that young age and experiencing everything, like, that's why my coach brought me there, is to show me that, like, these things are possible, and like, I can be the future of Serbia basketball with my other teammates, and we can do this every year consistently. Yeah,
here we go. And first off, hats off to you, because personally, Angela, if I had to play Eurobasket and the Olympics, I'm chilling, my back is hurting, my ankle, I would have been finished, you know. So hats off to your fitness, but just, I mean, also your dedication to the craft, you know. So seriously, hats off for you for getting it done that year, seriously. And I mean, just in terms of, you kind of really highlighted just how special that team not even was, how special that Serbian national team is. And just with regards to team chemistry just being so vital on the court, but as well as off the court. So just out of curiosity, you know, how do you build rapport with your teammates? And, you know, how does this, you know, team chemistry contribute to the success of a team?
Yeah, it takes a lot of time. And I think my Serbian coach, she knows, like, so much about basketball. And her father was a basketball coach before her. And he has passed down his wisdom to her. And she's just, like, completely redefined Serbian women's basketball. Nice. She's honestly amazing, and very smart. So she brings us in earlier than most teams do because she wants us to get to know each other better, not only off the court but on the court as well.
Nice.
So it's like whenever we're not on the court, it's like we're playing cards, we're just talking, getting coffee, whatever it is, even if it's just like chilling in a room together, like it's like dead silent, everybody's on their phone, but it's like just the company, the energy, everything. And then on the court, like we're together for almost 2 months before the actual tournament start, and it's just like that, like it takes a physical toll on your body. We go up into the mountains too, so you can get like the you know, your lungs can be prepared for the distance that you run on the court and everything. So they like, they do everything to T, and it just like, I mean, we get results out of it. So you like, as much as it does hurt physically, like you get the results, and you can't, you know, it's hard to complain when you keep getting goal, like get goal or whatever it is. So like, that's, you know, that's always the goal, is to place and to just bring joy and pride to your national national team and to Serbia as well.
Right. And just with regards to, you know, UCLA women's basketball, you know, you playing for them, it obviously come with its unique challenges, but also triumphs as well. So, you know, how has being a part of that program, you know, impacted your growth as a
player? Yeah, what I love about my coach here, and it's funny because, like, both of my coaches are so, so good and so, so different. But here she focuses a lot on player development when it's off season. Like, she, like, it's one-on-one trainings with different coaches. It's like, okay, what are your go-to moves in the post? What do you do? Like, what do you do naturally? What do you want to work on? Okay, let's work on consistency. Let's work on your defense. All these different pieces that, like, I might not be good today, but I know I'm going to get 1% better later. And that's, like, I don't think a lot of college teams do that enough, because some people just go to a college team and that's sort of where they peak. And with us, like, if you would just see our practices, like, and like, I have amazing teammates too, where everybody wants to get better. Like, now we had winter break and we'd be done with practice and everyone's like, okay, like, let's shoot afterwards. And coaches aren't, like, NCAA rules, like, they're not allowed to tell us to shoot, but, like, they don't have to tell us. We actually want to keep going. And it's just being surrounded by that. And that's because my coach has built this program to be so structured, and, like, we have goals and we want to achieve it and we're capable of it, but there is going to have to be some rules behind it and you have to follow it. And so whether she holds you accountable for a mistake during basketball or whatever it is, like, we know in the end, like, she's doing it because she loves us and she wants us to get better and we have these goals. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And just, I mean, you playing at the college level, but also, you know, being well experienced playing at the international level for your country, I think developing basketball IQ, especially at that level or just in general for that fact, is really a continuous process. So for yourself, you know, is there any specific drills? Do you study film or even do mental exercises that you incorporate into your routine just to enhance your understanding of the game?
Yeah, so after every game, but unless it's like two close games together at UCLA, we have film sessions with coaches. And so I have it with my assistant coach and my head coach, two separate ones. And, like, we'll watch the same film. They just have different perspectives on it. And that's what I love so much, is to see what they're thinking in the moment. And they like to see what I was thinking in the moment. Because sometimes, like, I'll mess up, but they're like, okay, what were you thinking? I was like, I did this, 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 but I should have done this. And they're like, okay, like, and they can see that I'm grasping these concepts. So hopefully the next time I do it, I don't mess up and I get it correct the next time.
Right.
Also, my coach here is very, very big on visualization. We also have, like, Mind Gym and all this stuff, who someone comes in and speak to us. But for me, what really works is, like, seeing myself doing things right. And so, like, whether it's, like, defense, free throws, making basket, whatever it is, like,
right.
Like, the fact that I can see my, they literally, like, make a, about every 2 weeks they'll update it. So they give us a video. It's like about 3.5 minutes of our prior games, and it'll be just clips of us doing things right, whatever it is, diving for balls, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they put a song on. It just, like, gets you hype and gets you motivated. It's really cool and really smart. And the thing that I love to do is, like, before each game, look at that and it basically tells myself, like, I'm capable of doing this and I'm here for a reason.
Right.
And it just gets me motivated for what's about to come.
Nice. And just the final two questions before we make a transition into the third quarter, which I like to call the quick hitter segment, and then we'll wrap up with the fourth quarter. But just in terms of, you know, 2023 for me, I'm not going to say it flew by, but it was definitely a stepping stone for me just in terms of growth and self reflection. And now, you know, 2024, you know, people may have been working on their goals before, but especially for now, for yourself, Angela, you know, when it comes to 2024, kind of just looking far ahead right now, you know, what are your personal or even team goals that you have for yourself?
My goals for myself is consistency. I know, like, all my teammates also have that too, so I guess it's also a team goal, but just consistency and not only basketball, just every part of life and you know, to be the best version of me. Team goals are obvious. I think everyone wants to win an NCAA championship. Everything. It's also the last year of our conference of the Pac-12, so we also want to go out and be the last team that wins the Pac-12 tournament and regular season and all this stuff. So, and to go undefeated, I mean, it's like you could just keep going. Like those are just like accolades for the team that we want to get. But I think as a team, what we want, and we preach about this every single day is like, okay, how do we grow today? Like, what is that 1% of growth? And again, like I said, like most of it is like consistency, whether it's like just communication is a really big thing. And I think a lot of teams lack that of like, okay, I'm going to cut here first. And it's like, you have to be really articulate about it. But at the same time, you can't say too much because then you'll just, it's too much for that point. I don't know if that makes sense.
No. I got you. Right.
But, yeah, so it's just like a lot of we do a lot of things about team chemistry and all these different things, and like again, this program has done so much, like staff and everybody, like just to give us this opportunity. But what's that saying? It's like with great risk comes great reward.
Absolutely, yes.
I don't know if it's exactly a risk, but it's just like we're getting rewarded either way. So
right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And just a final question before we get to the third quarter is, you know, are there any highlights that stand out to you the most? But also, Angela, what were some of the lowlights that made you a better person and player?
Yeah, I think the lowest I've been, I would say even in life, is during my ACL injury. And that I wouldn't change anything. I think it's a blessing that it happened because I've realized, like, I've always played basketball and I think I've taken it for granted for the most part before. And now, like, I just remind myself every game, every practice and everything, like, just be present, be in the moment, you know, don't let other distractions happen. Like, it truly is a blessing. So that whole process, like, although it was really hard and it's still like hard to talk about. It was very rewarding, and to see myself just in like the growth I've made as a, not only as a player, but as a person as well, is, you know, like I'm not the only one who notices, like the people around me notice it as well.
Right.
Highs. It's probably Eurobasket, just cause memory I have from it is like the confetti falling on us and we're doing swarms with the confetti. And it's such like a random one, but like it just, I don't know. Everyone was just so happy and that we won and that we were done with everything.
Oh man, that is so cool, so cool. And just getting into the quick hitter segment just before we wrap up, and I'm super curious to get your mind on some of these questions now. So the first one I've got for you, Angela, is what would you say, you know, in the game of basketball, is a skill that is taught by many but only mastered by a few?
Communication. That is like, it can be really the downfall of a team if you don't have good communication on the court. And again, our team has preached that, so we've been doing pretty well, so I would say tell this.
Nice. I like that one. Next one. The best piece of advice you ever received?
Celebrate the small victories. That was from my teammate when I, she tore her ACL a year before me and tore it again recently. But when I tore mine, that's what she told me. And just like, because the process is really long. And like the first time I got off crutches, that's a small victory. The first time I was able to walk down the hallway, that's a small victory. Yeah.
Nice. Next one. If it wasn't for basketball, I wouldn't have learned filling the blank about myself.
That's a good one. Like, probably wouldn't have learned, like, I don't know if this exactly answers it, but I probably wouldn't have met the people I have and, like, had the close friends that I have. I think, like, I'm already very selective, like, who I let into my life. And it mainly is, like, people from my basketball life, but again, they've known me for so long and learned how I act, and I've learned how they act. So yeah, that'd probably be it.
I like it. And the final one before we finish with the fourth quarter is, what would the title of your autobiography be?
I don't know. That's such a good question. Angela the Chosen One?
Okay.
I don't know. That's just a little weird, but I'll listen to that one.
Right. Very. Okay. So just to finish up, we're going to have a little bit of fun. What I like to do with my guest, Angela, is I give them 10 seconds. They need to name five things. So for example, I might say, Angela, I'm going to give you 10 seconds to name, and this could be in the WNBA or the NBA. I might say, name five post players. And then when you hear this countdown, that's when you can just start
10
listing off the five.
Nine,
how does that
eight,
sound?
Okay. Seven.
All right.
Perfect. Okay. Let's get it right. The first one, we're going to start nice and easy. So, Angela, you have got 10 seconds to name five. Again, this can be in the WNBA or the NBA. 10 seconds to name five players.
Kevin Durant, Breonna Stewart, Diana Taurasi, Sonia Petrovic. Wait, seven, early.
Five.
And Kyrie Irving.
We'll take it. Next one, you've got 10 seconds to name five teams.
Okay.
10. Nine,
Denver Nuggets, Chicago Bulls, Utah Jazz, six, Seattle Storm, New York Liberty.
Let's go. You know, Angela, you had me at the Chicago Bulls because that's my team. The listeners already know.
Yes,
Oh, yes. Gosh, that's a whole other podcast because the Bulls, it's sort of for me. But anyway, we're going to get to that at another podcast. Right. These next two, Angela, I'm going to give you the heads up, is these two are quite difficult. These names you do hear a lot, but only usually around a certain time of the season. So let's see how you do with these next two. So again, 10 seconds to name five coaches.
Oh,
10.
Marina Blackovic.
Seven.
Okay.
Six,
we close.
Three, two, one.
I really don't know. I only want my own. Or I could have, wait. I like know faces more than I know. That's something I will learn there. Cool.
You good? Okay. Now we've got the final three. So you've got 10 seconds to name five international. That's true. No. You're good. So you got 5 seconds to name five international players.
Oh, okay. Easy.
10. Nine,
all right. Yelena Brooks, Sasha Stabile, Ciara Stabile.
Five.
We have Yvonne Anderson, yep. And Vilopova.
Clutch. That's a
buzzer meter, yeah.
Right. We have got the final two. And now these ones really come down to personal preference. So the next one is, you've got 10 seconds to give me your top five players of all time.
Okay. 10. Nine,
LeBron James, seven, Kobe Bryant.
Six.
Kevin Durant.
Five.
Juan Stewart.
Four. Three.
Two, I'll put Michael Jordan.
One.
Nice. And the final one. Name five artists that get you hyped before a game.
All right. I'm going to name some Serbian ones too, but.
Okay, nine, talk about it.
Eight.
Sunya, we have Drake, six, we have SZA, we have Rihanna, who's my favorite. And I'll put Pesca's up.
Okay. Loving the versatility there. Okay. I see you. And I mean, listeners, honestly, this was a real treat for me, and I know this was a treat for you guys. Under the description to follow her will be in the link, but just for the people that are listening that just want to follow UCLA Serbian basketball, but just your own personal journey, Angela, where can they find you?
You can find me on my IG, my Twitter, and my TikTok. It's my first and last name, Angela Dugalic. Yeah.
Perfect. Amazing. Listen, this has been an absolute treat for myself. This is Coach D and Angela Dugalic signing out.